Maddie, and thank you everybody for tuning in to the Adult Sunday School. And so we're going to start a new series. It's going to be entitled The Romans Road to Salvation. And so looking back over the last 8 months or so, we've embarked on that journey through the book of Acts. And I felt led to go through that route because it gives us a historical relevance to the body of Christ, of which both you and I belong. You know, my hope was that our walk through the book of Acts would awaken us to our identity and the significance of our calling as representatives of Christ to be displayed in our homes, in our community, and the mission field as we take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. And with that said, I must acknowledge our brother Mike Staunton as he's cutting his teaching teeth on the matter of our missionary calling as at OBC. I'm excited to see how the Lord will use him in doing this on these Tuesday night Bible studies. So pray for him, support that time if that time slot is available. Remember, each of us of the body of Christ have indwelt in us the Holy Spirit. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are equipping the saints, OBC is, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And over the past 6 weeks, maybe 7 weeks or so, Marcus led us through one of the most unique ways in which Jesus communicated the message of the gospel, and that was through parables. And he told us that, you know, parables are this literary form of communication in which Marcus helped us, he identified for us as a type of a narrative that is designed to deceive the hearer into the truth. And I really like how he explained those each and every week. And this is a brilliant way of communicating with someone who may be perhaps hostile to new ideas, people who are maybe set in their ways or stuck in a tradition. The characters and the situation surrounding a parable are fictitious, he explained to us. But the narrative helps to drive a person to think in such a way that they come to their own conclusions on the matter at hand. It's kind of designed to give an aha moment or a moment that provokes a conviction and or an awareness of a truth. And so since this pandemic, we have had to think and do things different. We have been saying that our efforts are designed for such a time as this. Taken from the book of Esther, where she was faced with the opportunity to stand up for righteousness, that many lives might be saved. I felt led to, once again, to encourage, to inspire, to edify you, the body of Christ, with another series of teaching. So this will further carry us down this journey. Excuse me. I've chosen again to teach the Romans Road to Salvation as a systematic way of using the scriptures from the book of Romans to define and demonstrate the need for salvation. This Roman road, that is, has been proven to be effective way to systematically present the gospel. Therefore, easy for you and I to teach. I see this as a tool to be placed in your hands as you fulfill your mission and your witness for Christ. Some of you may have already taken a class on evangelism and how to witness using the Romans Road scriptures. And usually they give you a booklet. I don't have any here, but I do have, you know, you can find these on the internet, and it just kind of lists the scriptures of the Romans Road. And or they may give you just a New Testament Bible in order to use that. And the Romans Road consists of a series of questions and biblical answers that are found in Romans. And what I hope to do is to sharpen your skills on how to communicate. That's why I mentioned that in the beginning, how Marcus, it just really seems like the Holy Spirit used him to stimulate my mind in that communicating this gospel is something that we can all hone our skills in doing. And so there's a list of questions, and they're in a particular order. And you, if you see the Romans Road either on the internet or go to a Christian bookstore, the questions may be slightly different, but they're still kind of covering the same topic areas. So the first one generally is, you know, why should God allow you into heaven? And so on the Romans Road, it's Romans 3:10, which says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So it starts off in the beginning, rightfully so, with the bad news. Okay, so why should God allow you into heaven? None is righteous, no, not one. The second question generally comes around, are you a good person? And when you're out there witnessing, people have in their mind that they're a good person. And then you can direct them to Romans 3:23, which says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's still more bad news. And some people want to know, where did sin come from? And in Romans chapter 5, you know, verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so you're starting to explain to people why they need for salvation. Then the next one question is something like, you know, what do I deserve for our sins? And some people think, you know, we need another chance, another chance, another chance. God, you know, this kind of thing. But the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we're coming into the good news part. So it's like, okay, so then who paid the price? And that's Jesus, that God commanded his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the way out of that, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So these are the scriptures that you as OBC members, we're not just going to take these scriptures and then say that. Over the next weeks, I'm going to try to take each one of these scriptures and go in depth with them, so that you'll have the background of scripture to support your thought process as you're trying to reveal this road to the foot of the cross where there is good news, letting them know first that there is bad news. Now, generally speaking, when you go through with somebody like this, at the end, there's an ABCs, they call it. And the ABCs is to admit that you are a sinner. B would be believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose from the dead. And C, confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. and that you accept Jesus Christ as both Lord and Savior. So again, we're going to go in depth on each one of those. So that's going to take us through several weeks of discovery. And then usually after that part, they usually in an evangelistic class, they'll teach you to this point, kind of help lead them through some sort of a prayer of Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I broke your laws. I thank you for Jesus Christ who died for my sins. Would you come into my heart and save my soul? So that's kind of the Romans Road in a nutshell. That is really a canned approach, so to speak, if you don't have the background of understanding and knowledge that you, brother, sister, can communicate. And you're going to be, each one of you are unique. And you want to be able to communicate in your own special way to others, people that you love, people that you have relationships with, people that you you kind of know where they are in their spiritual journey. And even if you don't, the Romans Road is a good tool for that. And sometimes people are in different places in their journey. So little background on the book of Romans that historically, Romans is the most influential book in the Bible. It's the book that Martin Luther read, which led to really the Reformation. If it were not for the Reformation, you and I would probably be Catholics right now. John Wesley, sort of the founder of the United Methodist Church, had been preaching for years before he was converted and received assurance of salvation because of his reading and studying of the book of Romans. John Calvin, I know you heard of the Calvinists. There's some churches called Calvary Road and all those. Said that if you can understand Romans, you can actually understand the whole of Scripture. It is Romans that has made clear that the just shall live by faith. Paul, a devout Jew, a believer in the law, came to understand that the just shall live by faith. And he wrote this down, directed by the Holy Spirit. And this is what really is our calling card as Christians. So as we read through the book of Acts, we discovered that on Paul's travel, on his missionary journeys, he would go to his fellow Jews, his countrymen first. And in large part, the Jews rejected him, and he committed to take then the gospel to the Gentiles, while Peter committed himself to the Jews. Paul writes the letter to the Roman church long before he ever got there. In fact, he had never been to Rome, but he did have a longing, as we saw in the book of Acts, to get there. And nobody knows for sure. And Amanda, I'm going to have you read Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. So when you get there, chime in.
Okay.
So no one knows exactly how the church in Rome got started. But most biblical scholars think this verse that Amanda is about to read is going to indicate how it perhaps did get started. So Amanda, Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 12, please. Thank you.
And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when his sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?"
Okay, thank you. You see why I get her to read those things? Why is this part important to our discussion? So it is believed that after Pentecost, or during Pentecost, there were devout Jews and Gentile proselytes, people that they had converted to Judaism in Rome. Now they get taught about the gospel and they take it back to Rome. This is probably in the time frame of AD 30. Paul writes the letter to the Romans some 26 years later when he's at Corinth. He's in Corinth when he writes to the Romans this letter, and it's only to AD 60, 4 years or so later, that Paul actually gets to Rome. But he, remember, he gets there not to actually, you know, as a free man, but he gets there as a prisoner. And so this church in Rome was both a mixture of Jews and Gentiles who had been converted. And these Gentiles had been conformed to Jewish law. And Paul is about to blow that up and tell them that it is by grace you are saved through faith, and not of works of the law. And remember, it was the Jews who had been rejecting Paul for overturning their traditions and law, as the gospel actually says. The Jews didn't appreciate this kind of talk. So he's now talking to this church in Rome, and he's going to be using a very unique kind of literary form in writing this letter, which you will get to in just a second. So my brothers and sisters, you are going to have to explain that from the scriptures, which are found in Romans. And you're going to have to understand that you're going to have different kinds of people that you're going to be dealing with. Romans is the most theological book in the whole New Testament. And it is a systematic presentation of Christian theology that we can find in the Word of God. It's important for us to understand this, like I said, so that we will be able to use this in correcting some of the confusion that may be out there. And imagine the confusion that Paul presented to the church in Rome from all their misunderstandings of really what Jesus meant. So this literary style, again, it's interesting that how Marcus introduced us to this literary style. You know, Jesus, or God himself, is the great communicator. He communicates through us through nature, which is general revelation. You may have heard that. He communicates through special revelation, that is the Word of God. He communicates to man directly into your conscience, And we're going to get into that. We're going to get into a little bit of the conscious man versus the ego of man. And, you know, most of the time we hear that the inner man versus the flesh. And we're going to try to understand a little bit what the Word of God is actually addressing. There are times when the Word of God is addressing the flesh of man and how it should come from darkness into light. And sometimes it is speaking to the conscious of man. And in the conscious of us is where really conviction has. It's where our real personhood lies. And so we're going to talk about that. So that you'll be equipped to understand how to take the Romans road and minister to people's heart. So this literary style that Paul is using is sort of like a monologue, like, you know, like the Jay Leno's or these talk show people that come on first and then they just do all the talking. And this monologue is mixed with a diatribe. And the diatribe is like just a stern sort of dressing somebody down. In other words, I mean, you're really going hard with explaining some facts. Mixed in there is also the idea, I don't know if you guys heard of the straw man effect, where you build up a hypothetical and then you take the truth and you counter your own argument. So it's that kind of dialogue that Paul is going to be using. Amanda, let's go to Romans to just to give you an example, because if you don't understand what's going on, you know, you may miss some of these things. So if you go to Romans chapter 2, and I'm missing some of my notes, but read to verses 1 through 11.
Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God.
Okay. Okay. Who is Paul speaking to? Anybody? So he's writing to we know that he's writing to the church in
Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law. These, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.
So, this is should be a pretty easy question to ask. And who is he talking to now? So the primarily, he's talking to the Gentiles. And he's speaking, and this is what's going to be really important that you got to know, he's speaking to their conscience. This is where God speaks. You know, man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the inward. He looks on the heart. This is your conscience is what convicts you of right or wrong, even when nobody else knows. And that's what God speaks to. That's what the word of God speaks to. And you got to have an assurance of that, that when you say to someone this eternal word, it goes towards the conscience. But we have to understand and apply it correctly. We have to know. So he's speaking to the Jew one way, and he's speaking the same gospel message to the Gentiles in a slightly different way. So, Amanda, if you read 17 through 24, and let's see who he's talking to.
Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who honor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written.
Okay, thank you, Amanda. So now he's speaking, now he's back speaking to the Jewish mind in the church. And as we can, as we digest all of this and get an understanding of this, you'll have some people who think they're good. That's why the Jews thought they were good. They thought they were going to heaven simply because they were Jews. And some people think they're going to heaven just because they've done some good things. They've been a school teacher all their lives. You know, they've been a policeman all their lives. And they're legalistic in their understanding of the word of God. But Paul is addressing them. He says, do you arrest somebody for stealing, Officer Wittenberg? And now you stole? Or I don't steal, but did you take a pencil? No, not a pencil. You took a box of ink pens from your office. What do you call that?
Steal.
You call that stealing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And so if you steal, what does that make you?
A thief.
Right. Are there going to be any thieves in heaven?
No.
No. So this is why when there's people who have read Romans and then they accuse Paul literally of being a schizophrenic because they don't understand who he's addressing here. Like he's going back and forth with these. But no, he's addressing the different mindsets of the people. And that's what Romans Road, our study of Romans Road, is going to help us do, is identify who we're talking to, but it's going to be the same gospel that saves us all. And so, Amanda, you know, let me see. Okay, go ahead and read 25 down to the end of chapter 3. We've got a little bit of time.
For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has been uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God.
Okay, so you see what he's doing. He's speaking to both now. He's saying, hey, Jews, you think because you're circumcised that you're better. But he's saying to the Gentiles, hey, you know, you can have the word of God in your heart, in your conscience. You've been converted, and you're still God's people. Now, so now Paul is coming into the Jews in Rome, and he's saying to, you know, the Jews, they're upset because they think that, hey, wait a minute, we've been practicing all this stuff. This goes back centuries. You know, what's up with that? And they're feeling some of that. And over in chapter 3, it says, there's a righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed being witnessed by the law and of the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So what he's doing is he's taking both of those people and saying, you're all the same. Nobody gets to heaven any other way. So now, check this out. Now the Gentiles are saying, hey, we're free. We can keep on with our idolatry and, you know, all this other stuff that we were doing. So, Amanda, let's go over to chapter 6 and read just the first two verses of chapter 6 in Romans.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?
Okay, so he's addressing the Gentiles again. Say, like, look, don't take your freedom just because you have freedom to do certain things. Don't let your freedom lead you into sin. Don't do that. And so this is the theology, the way we have to get a hold of the thinking process of salvation, present it to people in such a way that we're dealing with them from their conscience. We can grab a hold of their flesh, let them know that we understand, the Word of God understands the flesh and what it actually needs, and lead them in to the Romans Road of salvation. So this is what the next series is going to be about. Learning what the background on these verses and what Paul is talking about. And Paul even says of himself in chapter 7 or 8, I believe, when he says, the things that I want to do, those are the things I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. So it's like Paul is having a conversation in his own conscious mind. subconscious, conscious mind. I'm kind of struggling myself as I'm kind of research the differences and the terms that should be used appropriately, whether we're talking about the conscious mind versus the ego. I'll do a little bit more study on that so we can make sure we can distinguish what we're talking. But for now, in biblical terms, it's the inner man versus the flesh. Okay? But again, it's going to be, I think, a good tool for you to understand when you're talking to a person's ego. And you can be an officer in the church and still operate out of the flesh, out of your ego. It's so frightening for myself to be consciously aware that there are times when my ego, that I've fed my own ego. Mm-hmm. I've fed the flesh. You've heard of that. We got to starve the flesh.
Flesh, yeah.
And it's an inner battle. And that's why, again, people thought Paul was maybe schizophrenic when he's writing this. But no, he's just creating an argument of why it is by faith, it is by God's grace, through faith that we're saved. It is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. And you got to be able to explain the difference when people are asking you, you know, this is a free gift. You can't earn it. But there is something you have to do. You have to admit. Because a lot of times we explain Christianity, oh, you don't have to do anything. Well, when we look at the scriptures, we're going to find out whether is that really true. We do have to do something. We have to admit that we're sinners. It's called what Amanda is repentance. I'm wrong. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is that perfect gift, that he died to pay the penalty for my sins and your sins. That part is free. You didn't do anything. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And why? Because he commanded his love for us. I'm going to get y'all into my love life with Cynthia Wittenberg. She's good. But I stopped loving her because she was good. Because one day, she ain't going to be able to do all the things that she can do now.
Amen.
Am I going to stop loving her? So, and by reading Romans and hearing those words, he commanded his love towards us. I choose to love her. So it don't matter what she does. And she can do whatever she wants, but she can't use her freedom to do something she can't do. She ain't supposed to be doing. But it's so much freedom for me to love her because out of my own integrity, because I said I would. And that's what God does. And he never breaks a promise. And so that's why we have to give people this assurance of their salvation. And we can find that in Romans. If we can take these tools, the Romans road, and give people this assurance that, hey, God loves you. If when you don't perform right, he doesn't love you one iota. I am having fried chicken for dinner, though, and she can work with that bird. So thank you, honey, for the fried chicken this evening. God is good. He is really, really good. And some people think he's legalistic, that they will never be able to pay the price for their sins. And they're right, they won't. That's why we have Jesus Christ. So, hey, that's my time is up for the day. So we will take the first question, and you can look this up on the internet if you want. There are videotapes of people going through people with the Romans Road and how it sometimes, you can see how it grasps a hold of their conscious thought and says, whoa, I'm in trouble here. If something isn't done, I'm on my way to hell. So, any questions, comments, complaints? Marcus, you out there?
I am. Aubrey's just making noise. But no, this was good. Thank you, Elder Witt. Thank you for laying this foundation down for us. I think that was pretty good with how you were using the different scriptures to show who was the audience at that time, whether it was the Jews or the Gentiles, and how Paul was writing to their egos or to their conscious mind, as you were trying to explain to us. So that was good. That's one thing I definitely took from today's lesson and that explanation. So thank you for that.
Okay. Anybody else? I know I'm not that good of a teacher. Yeah.
Hey, wait, this is Larry. How's it going? Similar to Marcus, Reagan's in the background, so you might hear her in a sec. No, I think this is just critical. Like you said earlier, the time is now to really kind of grab hold of this and really truly train together to be able to share the gospel. Not that it all falls on us, but that doesn't mean we should not know it. You know, doesn't mean that we should not practice and sharing it, because it is the way that people enter into heaven. You know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so if we as, kind of broken vessels can be used by God that to lead someone to the way of everlasting, man, it's such a beautiful thing that I don't know if we ever really pause and consider enough, you know. So, yeah, thanks for doing this. I know it'd be beneficial.
Yeah, the word says, it is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first. Only first, because he gave them the oracles of God for them to explain to everyone else. That's how he did it. He chose to use people like you and me, ordinary people. And all of us, we all have our own somewhat communication abilities and how we communicate. Some people like me use their mouth maybe a little more than they should, but there are others who say little and do much. But it's all with the same sort of a mixture of presenting the gospel. But again, we got to know what the gospel is. We got to be intentional about ministering to the conscience of people. We know that many people in and around church measure their relationship with God by material blessings. whether it's financial, employment opportunities, position, good health, and things of that nature. But we know that that's not the message of the gospel. It's an eternal message. Like I said, there are a lot of people, and there's likely to be some in our church who've been going to church, who can read the scriptures, who can pray, but have not been converted. That's just true. And then if we can love one another and minister the gospel to each other daily, because we need the gospel daily. I didn't understand that at first. You know, I heard the gospel, I'm saved, okay, I'm good. No, we need the gospel. The manna from heaven was daily. You weren't allowed to store it up for the week. We need this gospel on a daily basis. All right.
Steve.
Yes.
This is an ordinary citizen. Good morning.
Is that heresies?
It depends on what part of the country you're from. Georgia, it could be Harris's.
Okay.
All right. but you know, I appreciate what you've given this morning. For me, it's just I got maybe just 2 points, maybe three. You know, Paul is revealing, of course, the righteousness in God's plan for our salvation as we get started here.
Amen.
But the presentation of the gospel for us, I believe, moved beyond what's wrong with our society, you know, our neighbors, young people with the bag of pants, all of those kind of things that we call demonstrious. But we must proclaim the good news. And we must believe in a God who has done something about our human problems. I mean, that's what we are trying to talk about between the OBC and First Baptist. And that the solution is free. And believing that it makes all the difference in the world. And so, you know, you were talking in chapter 3 is the forgiveness. Because if we don't get there, we're in the same boat that we've always been in. And then we have peace. But how do we do that? Because you ended in chapter 6, which is that the freedom from the power of sin. We're all sinners. But as believers, we are free. Not that we're not going to sin at all. It doesn't mean that. But because of Christ's death, sin no longer controls us. We can choose. That's the freedom, not to sin. And so I believe that the instrument of unrighteousness to sin is the instrument to the righteousness of God. That's being alive in Christ. And you talked about the law, you know, the circumcision and the law that in the Old Testament, it just simply people followed it because it was the law. But then Paul is saying now it's something of the heart. It has to change all that stuff in the heart. It's not, you know, one of the things that until that you don't get the glory until you die. So the autumns of those fragments of sin still gonna be there, but we are under the grace. And that grace is free.
Yeah.
It's just as free as we can get. Doesn't cost us a thing in the world. It's free to all people. Amen.
Marcus said, he used the parable of the unmerciful servant. Have any of you guys been that way before? I mean, I have. Where I didn't mean to be, but I'm going. Okay, don't understand. All of a sudden, my phone wants to jump in. It needs to be said. But you know, I'm a guy. I'm a Christian. You know, so before you know it, you start feeling and issuing condemnation towards others. When you receive the grace of God.
Yes, Lord.
When you thought, okay, that guy, he embezzled $30 million. I only stole a box of pins from the office. And you think you can stand before God and consider yourself better than someone else? You know, I told that story about the man who murdered someone, left town, they couldn't find him, went to another town, and so happened to see a house on fire, and he ran in and saved the family, husband, wife, kids, dog, and the goldfish. But when he ran in, he was caught on camera. And they say, isn't that so-and-so that's accused of murder here? They go down and get him. And because he saved three people's lives, does that cancel out the one person that he killed? Does he still not have to answer for that? Yes, he does. So we've got to get ourselves and other people straight on how the Lord, the King of Kings, the Judge of all judges, will judge us. And if Christ hasn't died for your sins, that's where the wormwood never dies. And there will be the gnashing of teeth, fire and brimstone. We don't want to be choking people out, Marcus, for their sin, when God has saved us from so much. Amen.
My wife tells me that all the time, Steve.
Yeah, man. So it softened my heart to those who I disagree with, and those who may have foul mouths and foul ways. Is there some way for me to communicate them in a parable form? How can I deceive them into the truth? Because if I just go straight up from the book of Deuteronomy, they're not likely to give ear to that. So anyway, all right, if there are no other comments, questions, read the book of Romans for your devotional this week, and maybe some of these things will come clear. I'll turn it over to the deacons. Let me pray. Lord, so